Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to dominate your fantasy football league. FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
What's the deal, Scout Army? Welcome into The Takeover. It is your boy, Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, rocking with you right here on this episode of The Takeover. We're going to talk all fantasy football today. I understand there's other fantasy sports taking place right now. Baseball is a big deal, season-long anti-effect. But, of course, I don't know where the Scout Fantasy. Get all your information. Tommy G has DFS taken care of. And, of course, the Daily Dr. Roto, or my guy, Doc, getting it done for all the season-long fantasy baseball players out there. But we like to talk football on this program right here. Of course, fantasy football, when it comes to fantasy sports, is the monster in the room. And one of the guys I like to do that with all the time, spoke with him last week, leading up to and after the NFL draft. I'm going to get some more draft thoughts from the NFL perspective. Then I'm going to go and shoot my guy, Martin Rouse Smith, out some questions about the current Scout Fantasy Starter League draft that I'm in right now. I'll tell you more information on how to get involved with those in a little bit. But right now, without no further ado, let me welcome in the man. Excuse me. There's no cough button on Blog Talk Radio. Let me introduce the man himself, Mark Morales Smith. MMS, what's going on, player?
Hey, what's happening, man?
Oh, boy, I'm telling you what, I'm just so happy to be back into football mode right now. I'm in football mode, heavy duty, big time. You know what I'm really going to get into this year? And I want to know if you've done it, what your thoughts of it are, is something that interests you. I'm going to get into some fantasy football auctions. I think the auction way of building a team is like the real true test of the kind of fantasy owner you are when it comes to putting together a team for a redraft. Don't get me wrong, the 12-team snake, listen, it's great. I love it. I'm willing to do that to the cows. Come on, I'm in one right now. I have no problem with that. But if you get the fifth pick, a certain guy's not going to be there for you. I think the auction and what goes into the actual auction and the strategy of it, of putting your team together for the season, is like the real true test of who the best fantasy owner is. Are you an auction guy? Do you do any auctions? Are you something you're looking to get into?
I do some auctions, but not many. Well, actually, what I'm doing this year is I've been in this league. It's a keeper league. I've been in it for about a decade now. We're changing it where wherever you draft a player, that round has a price. And then you keep 10 players in each year, so they have a salary cap. And each year, their price goes up a dollar. So now we're keeping 10 players. We used to keep like 3 or 2 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's IDP too. So now you have a salary cap, so you have to decide how to keep people based on everyone, how much everyone cost. So it's not an auction, it's still a regular draft, but it has the money, the money aspect to it.
Now, let me ask you this. When you in this type of keeper league for a decade, it kind of really shows the kind of fantasy football player you are. Now, being that you're a guy that's out there doing articles and podcasts and really deep into it, do you dominate the league or are your friends pretty good too?
No, I don't dominate the league. The one, my main league we started was actually off the other league. Some people had an issue with the commissioner in the league I was just talking about. And so I've won it 2 of the 4 years. I lost the championship game the second year. And last year I made the playoffs and I lost the week before the championship game. I had like Le'Veon Bell and Arian Foster and just everyone got hurt. Le'Veon is my stuff. I mean, like everyone, my whole team got hurt. I lost like 2 of my receivers, but it's IDP, so I lost some defensive guys. But no, I wouldn't say I dominated. I'm always near the top, though. I'm always, you know, I'm always either in the championship game or one game from the championship game. But once you get to the playoffs with injuries and everything else, anything can happen, really.
We're going to put together an auction league this year for some takeover listeners. You want to get involved in a fantasy football auction, hit me up on Twitter at FantasyExec. So I'm going to get that done. Now, you talked about the situation last season with injuries. And let me tell you something. Injuries tore me apart last season. I had my worst season in years. Injuries were very brutal to me this past year. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making excuses. I missed on a lot of my guys. You know what I'm saying? I was on Mike Wallace last year. I'm like a deep threat like that in a North Turner offense. Little did I know Teddy Bridgewater, North Turner, had other ideas. So those guys I missed on. But like I said, I'm a big Le'Veon Bell guy. Anytime I get a chance to draft Le'Veon Bell, if Bell's on the board, I'm going with him. You know what I mean? So I had him a lot of my places. Andrew Luck.
I was a big Andrew Luck guy last year.
I was big on. I thought Andrew Luck was going to throw 45, 50 touchdown passes last year. He did.
I mean, I like what they did this year, so maybe he will this year. And his shoulder was banged up, and so.
Yeah, I'm going to get into some Andrew Luck talk a little bit later on, too. Take the injuries into account. Like I said, injuries last year. But I pride myself on being the kind of fantasy football owner or fantasy football executive that I know how to avoid injuries. I had a stretch where, I mean, I've gone through seasons with no major injuries, maybe a game or two here or there. For the most part, my guys stay healthy, my teams are deep, and that's how I'm able to compete at a high level, you know, not patting myself on the back, anything like that, but I am.
Me too. I do the same thing.
I think being able to avoid injuries is not a thing of luck. I think it's a thing more of skill, of knowing some players have injury risks that come up along with them.
I completely agree. Like last year, I kept Arian Foster, but that's because my other option was Kelvin Benjamin. So that was the plan, was keep Kelvin Benjamin, A.J. Green, and Le'Veon Bell from my championship team, my three offensive guys, and I kept J.J. Watt on defense. But, you know, Kelvin went down with torn ACL, then it was Arian Foster and Emmanuel Sanders. And I let Sanders go because I drafted Jarvis Landry in round one. That was my
nice
plan,
job.
Which worked out. People were on everybody because I passed up on Jordan Matthews and Brandon Cooks, and I took Jarvis Landry, which people thought was a little crazy, but that worked out for me.
No, well, Cooks was a guy that I got burnt on. Well, I don't want to say burnt because he ended up finishing very strong. But I find it interesting, and, you know, like I said, this wasn't really the plan off the top, but I find it interesting that you mentioned A.J. Green. And I kind of think I want to start right there with A.J. Green. He's a first-round guy, back in the first round of drafts. And I don't know if I agree with that because I understand A.J. Green is a superstar talent. But I think if you're an A.J. Green owner from last year, I think you may be a little bit disappointed in A.J. Green's production. Now, he put up 11 touchdowns on the season, caught 91 balls over 1,300 yards. So I may sound foolish saying this, but I feel like a lot of his work went to Tyler Eifert last year. And not to mention the fact he's coming back this year with Giovanni Bernard, Tyler Eifert, with the weapons on the outside. Snow and Jones all gone now. They brought in – who they bring in? I remember I was looking through their roster recently. I know they brought somebody in to put on the outside.
They just drafted someone. Who the hell they draft?
So you like the guy that they drafted?
I can't think who it was. I know they just drafted someone,
it's
though.
It's a decent option on the other side of him this year. I'm looking that up right now, so just rock with us, takeover listeners. We're still early in the, you know, in the process right now. It's only May, you know, so we don't have all the depth charts down to a science. But yeah, I do know Sanu and Jones are gone. They're no longer part of that situation. Now, when you look at A.J. Green last year, just go ahead while I look this up and talk on Green because – I think Green's a player that's off my board this year, especially for where he has to go at.
Talent wise, Green is a top five receiver in the league.
Yes,
there's a lot of the Bengals are always kind of a little iffy on everything, just because I feel like it's just that team in general. always kind of scares you a little bit, and they always have. But, I mean, I'm on Green. I'm keeping Green again this year over a few players. He's just a monster. He gets plenty of targets. He can beat you short. He can beat you deep. He's big enough to go over the top. He scores touchdowns. Yeah, Tyler Eifert's there, but he hasn't proven to be the most durable guy in the world. Much like I feel like no tight ends are really all that durable anymore. I think three or four starters last year played all 16 games. And Dalton's going to be
that's
back. He did that last
such,
year with Dalton
Greg
missing
Olsen
time.
Is such a beast. That's why Greg Olsen is such a beast. Greg Olsen does not miss football games. If I'm not mistaken, Greg Olsen may have missed one game in his entire career.
Yeah, I don't remember him ever really being hurt. Last year, I think it was him, Gronk, Jordan Cameron, who probably didn't get hurt because he didn't catch any passes, and like one other starter maybe that didn't miss a game all year. This tight ends, everyone talks about the running backs getting injured. Tight ends are just as bad.
Yeah, that's an interesting take on it. Make sure you look into that as you prepare for the upcoming season. That is the type of research right there that you need. That wide receiver that's paired up with A.J. Green this upcoming year in Cincinnati is Brandon LaFell. Brandon LaFell's a veteran, you know what I'm saying? Brandon LaFell's a veteran. I really don't have many problems with Brandon LaFell. And that number two wide receiver job should be his unless you think the rookie can overtake him.
No, I mean, LaFell will probably be the number two, but he's such a blah number two. You know, he goes out there and he's tallish and he catches passes sometimes, but I wasn't a fan of him coming out of LSU. I didn't like him in Carolina. I was surprised when he had that 1 year with the Patriots. They didn't do anything. I feel like he's Reuben Randall to me. He's that guy you put there number two. He should be better than he is. He has okay production. I feel like he's just another guy on the outside.
Okay. Let's talk about this draft and how it affects fantasy football. Obviously, you know, the first round, the big ramifications, you know, the Treadwells and the Elliots. Let's talk about some of the other guys while I got a couple minutes with you. Thomas Rawls came onto the scene last year. Waiver wire fine, gave owners some fantasy gold, ended up getting hurt, sent to the IR, missed the latter half of the season. Now the Seahawks in this draft drafted, what's this guy's name, C.J. Procise?
C.J. Procise at Notre Dame.
Yes. What's the deal? Is Thomas Rawls in any trouble?
He's definitely in some trouble. They drafted him. They also drafted Alex Collins out of Stanford, who also is a guy that he's not as talented, but he is a guy, he's a workhorse type back. So they're not drafting scat backs to play on third down. They're drafting guys to compete for the job, which has, I mean, if he beats him out, he beats him out. But I mean, you got to remember, he's an undrafted free agent that they have no money invested into coming off a broken ankle, which has to at least be alarming. Say if you're in a league and if they don't draft you, those guys, Rawls might be, what, a third-round pick, even second-round, sneak in the second as a every-down back prior to the draft. So you got his value definitely takes a hit. And Procise is like the Braxton Miller of running backs in this draft. Mm-hmm. So the upside, the athletic ability and upside is huge. It's just a matter of if he can put it all together. You know, Rawls isn't out there competing with Kristen Michael and Robert Turbin anymore.
This guy right here is legit. He's the guy. Well, listen, plenty of NFL guys over the years, especially when it comes to Kristen Michael, has been like, this guy is the best running back that doesn't have a starting job. And
Kristen Michael was never good.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Is this guy's the Loch Ness Monster? I keep hearing about it, but I never see it.
There's guys like that, and usually, for the most part, I don't. Like, I never understood Kristen Michael. I never understood the Justin Hunter. Even Cordell Patterson. Cordell Patterson was a guy I kind of liked leading up to the draft 2 years ago, like fantasy draft 2 years ago. Then I watched some film on him in college, and he was never good. At no point was he ever good at football besides returns. People get too caught up in just pure athleticism and overlook the fact that these people aren't good at football.
You got to be able to play the game. Yeah, you got to be able to play the game. That's an important part of it. So that's the name right there, pin click right there. Etch that name in your kitchen table. C.J. Procise is a guy that, will, as we come up closer to the draft season, we'll start seeing go more and more.
He only played running back 1 year in college, and he was good. He looked like a better running back than a lot of the athletic, than the Christian Michaels of the world have ever looked. So he could develop, and he could see.
Pounds.
And he had good vision, and he could hit holes and cut well. So he's going to be interesting.
Definitely a guy that you keep an eye on. Write that name down, C.J. Procise of the Seattle Seahawks, and be very careful where you're drafting Thomas Rawls. Right now, like I said, before the draft in the league that I'm in, he went on the turn from 2 going into 3. I definitely think that number is going to drop. Let's go from Thomas Rawls, basically out of a nowhere type guy. And they tell you what, the situation in Baltimore is, they really have a big hole on that team left by Ray Rice. They draft Kenneth Dixon, the guy I want to talk about. But, of course, you have Justin Forsett, Lorenzo Taliaferro, Buck Allen, and that bum Trent Richardson all in the mix going to camp for the Buffalo Bills. Ken Dixon, 5'10", 215, but the reports say he is a Mark Trestman-style back, probably the best pass-catching running back in this draft. Ken Dixon is the guy we're talking about, MMS.
I watched him. He is a guy that – he's a guy that fits well in the NFL right now because he's big enough to carry the ball and he can catch passes. But watching him, I don't think he's a special player. I'm avoiding that backfield altogether. If I was taking one guy, I'm probably going Buck Allen. Personally, I think Forsett's older. He had one good year. He's been a journeyman his whole career. I think he's 31 now. I mean, Buck Allen, if I have to take one, which I hopefully do not, I'm going with Buck Allen and that team. I just don't think Dixon, he's a guy that can play, he can catch passes, he'll be on the field. I just don't see him as a special player.
All right, here we go. The year of Monty Ball. 2014 was supposed to be the year of Monty Ball. It ended up becoming the year of C.J. Anderson. Last year, C.J. Anderson jumps into second round, third round fantasy football drafts. If you're a C.J. Anderson owner last year, you can't really be happy with the production that came through the situation. This year, they go back to the draft. They draft Devontae Booker, a 24-year-old rookie from Utah. Durability is a concern for this young man, Booker. That's what the scouting report says. Does he have a chance to unseat C.J. Anderson?
No, but he can unseat Ronnie Hillman. And, I mean, that team's going to be like a 60-40 split probably. They don't really like feeding one back. I really like Booker. I was high on Booker. I thought he was probably the third or fourth best bet. Him and Howard, I both liked. I had them 3 and 4. I think he's really good. I think he's going to beat out Hillman. I mean, he could beat out C.J. Anderson. It depends what C.J. Anderson we get. If we get the driven, good C.J. Anderson or the chubby, unmotivated C.J. Anderson, he seemed to really want to play with Adam Gase, which is not a bad thing, but it's a little bit of a concern that maybe he feels like he's a better system. He doesn't fit that system very well. If he was willing to take less money to avoid going to Chicago and wanted to play in Miami over Denver where he just won a championship. So he could, but I wouldn't expect him to this year. But I think Booker will emerge as the number two there and get significant touches.
Do you think, when you say significant touches, it's kind of how I try to break it down for the guys listening. Is he a handcuff or is he a flex?
I would say he's a handcuff for now because, I mean, he's a rookie backup, so you don't really know exactly what you're getting out of him. And there is a chance that Hillman could beat him out, and if you draft him as a flex, then you just kind of beat. So I would draft him as a handcuff, but he could have flex upside. I mean, almost the same exact thing as what Hillman was last year.
Him and Slasher times last year. I wrote him a couple of weeks. I let you know how bad my running back situation was last year, but that's neither here nor there. Speaking of bad situations, the Cleveland Browns, sorry, Browns fans, but it is what it is. They have a lot of they have a lot of issues on this football team.
It's a lot of wide receivers
Lewis.
Now too.
They got now we're talking about this guy Ricardo Lewis. This guy right here, Auburn is the school, right?
Yeah.
Auburn is the school on Ricardo Lewis. Of course, you know they added the other big time wide receiver in Coleman. I mean, basically, at some point, these guys have to come in there and unseat Hawkins and Brian Hartline. What's the skinny on Ricardo Lewis?
I mean, I didn't love him. I thought he was out of that top tier of, I cut it off right around the top 8 or 9. I didn't think he was in it. He's supposed to be talented. He's better than where he was drafted, I guess. I don't know. I didn't really love any of the guys they drafted, all 12 of them. Coleman has the most upside, obviously. Mm. Lewis went round 4. A lot of people thought he had round 3 talent, so they consider him. I thought he went where he should have, maybe even a little later. I mean, I don't know. I don't like anything the Browns do ever, really.
No, he's just one of those things. He's just not buying it. Listen, Hugh Jackson's the coach now. I think that's an improvement. And he spoke very highly of Crowell and Duke Johnson this week. I think those are two dudes that are mid-round sleepers.
I do like Hugh Jackson a lot. And that is, I mean, they're pretty much his Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill. Even though Hill's a lot better than Crowell, and I think Johnson's better than Gio, to be honest.
I can see that also.
He was a monster.
Chicago Bears, Matt Forte, no longer in the picture. Many years of being a fantasy stud. Jeremy Langford popped at times last year. Right now in early drafts, he's going in about the 3rd or 4th round. A lot of people getting on the Jeremy Langford train, especially guys that used him last year. You know, fantasy owners are romantic. So if it worked out before, they're going to say, okay, it's going to work out again. Jordan Howard is the player right here that comes in there. Bruising 230-pound running back. What's the deal with Jordan Howard? Is this a situation where Jeremy Langford is maybe not the guy? I mean, put it like this. I feel like they're trying to add somebody else to this situation.
Yeah, well, like I said, they offered C.J. Anderson big money. They offered him more than Miami offered him before he signed his offer sheet. So clearly they're looking for someone. As I said before, I really like Howard. I had him and Booker at 3 and 4. And I don't know. I can't imagine why he fell so far. Maybe because of his size, you know, people like he's not prototypical. They like the smaller backs now, a little bit down around like 220. But I mean, if you look last year though, Forte and Langford split carries a lot before Forte got hurt too, and John Fox obviously gave us the John Fox caused all these problems we deal with today with Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams.
Yes,
he is kind of like, you know, like the godfather of the committee. The running back by committee, in a sense, he was the first one that, at least that I can remember, that had two elite-level backs and just started splitting carries. So, I mean, I don't expect that to change. Langford's value definitely takes a hit because he's not going to be an every-down feature back like people were hoping, barring injury, of course.
Now, moving right along, this guy Howard, is he the guy that can do it? Can he? He's 230 pounds. He's not. Jeremy Langford is more of a third down guy than this guy is. This guy right here could be. He projects to be like an in the tackles banger, straight Chicago Bears style from back in the day. Is this the guy right here, or is it somebody else out there that can be the guy that Langford would be splitting carries with?
He's the guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy. I mean, he has everything it takes to be a pro running back. He was stuck at Indiana. I think he was a little bit overlooked because he was at Indiana. But, I mean, I love the way he runs. His vision's good. He has the acceleration and agility. He has the vision. He follows his blockers. So, he's a good runner. And he has the acceleration and agility. He will run through you. He will drag you. I mean, there's not much not to like about him, really. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being the second best back in this draft at all.
Interesting stuff right there. Moving along to the Oakland Raiders, Latavius Murray, NFL career for the most part, just getting ready to get rolling. He's a guy flashed at times last season. Nothing really spectacular about him. Solid fantasy RB2-ish type. DeAndre Washington, player they drafted this past season, last week in the draft. What do you like about Washington? And is Washington, does he have any value in the PPR?
He might have some value. I mean, they've been looking for that guy, that change of pace guy. I mean, they tried it with Roy Helu. It didn't work out.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I really like Murray. I think he, especially with the improved offensive line, I think his size and speed combination is rare. Like, I think he's a special talent. I actually drafted him as a rookie and the second year, both times when he missed the whole season due to injuries. But I think he's a special player. I expect him to see the vast majority of the carries, and if he doesn't, it's only because they don't want to wear him down. I mean, that team could be winning games this year and running the ball. That all of a sudden is a competitive team, or at least should be.
Yeah,
something we haven't seen from
team.
The Raiders in a long time.
I think you're going to see some fantasy darlings, especially emerging that Oakland situation this year, including the tight end, Clive, and then not to mention
I think you know
Derek,
about Clive.
Yeah, I know that's your guy. I know Derek Carr, also a favorite, and of course Amari Cooper being the stud, and Latavius Murray in the mix also. But that's going to be a fantasy team on the rise. Fantasy situation that is not on the rise, as a matter of fact, a pitiful fantasy situation, is the New York Giants backfield. We know the names, the Rashad Jennings, the Andre Williams, that Orleans Darkwah had a cup of coffee last season on fantasy rosters. Paul Perkins, 2 P's, is the guy that comes to New York to join the backfield via the NFL draft. Scat back type, third down back. Any fantasy value left with this guy?
I mean, in that backfield, I think he's more than a scat back. I think he could be a guy that can carry the ball a good amount of times, a couple hundred times. But, I mean, he has to have value immediately just because in that backfield, what else is there? Why can't he emerge as the top guy? Excluding Vereen, who has his own job, which isn't going to change no matter who they draft, because there's very few people in the league that are as good at what Vereen does as Vereen is. But why can't he beat out Andre Williams? And Rashad Jennings is forever hurt. He stayed healthy last year, but I think he's played one 16-game season in his entire career. And Darkwah is, whatever, Darkwah.
we know about that guy.
But so Perkins immediately step in as a starter on the Giants, which is a good offense. So, I mean, I would definitely take a flyer on him.
No doubt. Darkwah, I tell you what, boy, you talk about fab money wasted, but definitely the hand out there. We're going to bounce back real strong in 2016. Tyler Higbee is a tight end drafted by the Los Angeles Rams, not the St. Louis Rams, the Los Angeles Rams. Rookie quarterback, young tight end. Jared Cook is nowhere to be found now. What's the deal with this Tyler Higbee? Tough for rookie tight ends to develop. I understand that.
Yeah, rookie tight ends almost always take at least a year or two to develop. And they still have Lance Kendricks, who's good. He's a better. Firstly, I think Lance Kendricks is better than Jared Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was better coming out. So they still have Kendricks. Kendricks, I would still expect to see more snaps this year. I mean, clearly they're trying to work him out and work Higbee in over time. But, I mean, blocking is sometimes an issue with rookie tight ends, which is huge, obviously, since they're on the line. I wouldn't expect much from – Hunter Henry is the only guy that might – has some value at tight end this year, only because he fell into San Diego, where Phillip Rivers loves his tight ends, and Antonio Gates just keeps getting bigger and older by the minute.
Oh, my goodness.
He's still great.
Antonio Gates
he's still great, don't get me wrong. He's still a monster, but he is certainly not getting any younger or any thinner.
No, he is. That's a big man. That is a big, humongous man right there. And I see why he has so much foot trouble, because he's carrying all that weight for all these years. That guy is getting bigger day by day. I want to get into the scout starter draft right now. Got a couple opinions for you on the draft. Got about 15 minutes left to go on the program. Always love talking fantasy football with my guy, Mark Morales-Smith, right around the corner. Matter of fact, start looking out for May Madness coming up right now. Fantasy Football World Championship. We get on the road to it. Scout Starter League, Scout Drafting goes in the lobby right now. Head on over there and start putting your strategy together for the upcoming 2016 season. And, of course, if you're a fantasy baseballer, got the great DFS advice from my man Tommy G as a premium subscriber. Mark, are you a Devonta Freeman guy?
Yeah, I had him ranked as the top running back coming out of his draft class. I wrote an article last year. It was Freeman versus Coleman. You know, we did like a little camp battle series, and I was all in on Freeman. I loved it. I thought he was great at Florida State. He knows how to play the game. He does everything well. I'm a big Freeman guy.
Big Freeman guy. First round on the turn. I'm not a Freeman guy. Now, I think a lot of his success last year came from a high volume of touchdowns.
It did. I mean, it did. But he also, it wasn't like they were handing him the ball on the half-inch line either, though.
After week eight, the 100-yard games, where I think it was none. Now he had games where he had over 100 yards total. The man does work out the backfield, too.
Yeah.
Caught 73 passes last year. But that big high touchdown number scares me for a guy that I'm putting second round, because I wouldn't take him in the first. I wouldn't take him in the second. But there's a lot of owners out there that are going to take him in the second. And I don't know if this guy's a second-round draft pick, mainly because I don't know if you can depend on those touchdowns and leave guys like Jarvis Landry and Alshon Jeffrey and a Brandon Cooks and Sammy Watkins on the board to take Freeman just because he's a running back. I don't see it with Freeman like that.
I mean, there comes a point, though, with running back where there's a huge drop-off, and it's usually right at some point in the second, third round. So I can definitely see PPR leagues, standard leagues, I don't know, because he's going to catch. He could catch like 60 passes, 70 passes. So, I mean, PPR leagues, he definitely has a lot more value. I mean, Tevin Coleman, I think, is a good player too, though. He's going to get his touches eventually. His issue last year was he couldn't stop fumbling. He runs 100 miles per hour straight into everyone, tries to run you over, and it led to fumbling. So, I mean, if he can change that, fix that, and not fumble, he's going to get his touches. But I do think Freeman is a special player, and I love him coming out of Florida State. So I would take him late in the second. I wouldn't take him over Jarvis Landry, but Landry I also think is going to go early in the second. And I'm talking PPR here.
Everything we do over here is PPR. I really think PPR is standard right now. I think that's the way it is. Eddie Lacy to be discussed plenty. Jamaal Charles, interesting player this year. Two ACL injuries now for Jamaal Charles. He is not getting any younger, Jamaal Charles. Not to mention the fact, rumors were that the Chiefs tried to move Jamaal Charles in the offseason. And
Miami
that,
was rumored to be looking at him.
Yeah, exactly. Miami was one of the teams that was in the mix. Definitely did hear that. You know what? He's going in the second round of the drafts right now. I'm a humongous Jamaal Charles guy. You know what I'm saying? He turns 30 years old. He'll turn 30 years old during the season. Two torn ACLs going into his ninth year. Listen, a workhorse, the true definition of a workhorse, the guy dominated the touches in that Kansas City offense for years. I don't think that's the case anymore.
No, I'm done with Charles.
Oh,
I'm done with him because of his ADP. Like, I mean, if he's sitting there round four, of course, I'm thinking, but he's never going to be sitting there. Like, if he's falling, if I'm sitting there and I have – if I need a flex option, Jamaal Charles there, of course I'm taking him. But for where he's going, you're probably going to have to get him mid-second round. I'm not. Like, I'm taking Freeman way before I'm taking Charles.
I think I can agree with you on that one. Like I said, I'm not a Devonta Freeman guy, and Jamaal Charles is very near and dear to my heart. Those are some of the
two ACLs. Two ACLs approaching 30. Three was they got West, they got Ware. Now Davis is a non-factor now, but they have no reason to feed him the ball like they used to because they have other options. So with him coming off ACL surgery, I can't imagine he's going to get the touches he once did.
Let me tell you something. Jamal Charles in the second. I got Shel Kendrick West in the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of hate to say it's a good chance that Shel Kendrick West could score more fantasy points than Jamal Charles this year.
It's a very good chance. I mean, it's a very reasonable comment to make, at least. I mean, would you be surprised if Charles is better? Of course not, but that's why. But I would take West in the 15th every time over Charles in the second.
Lamar Miller's a guy I think is going to end up shooting up draft boards as we get closer to draft day, especially if he has some big games in preseason. Everything is set up right here. Team, nice, decent offensive line. You know they're going to give Lamar Miller the football. He is getting his opportunity to be the three-down back, take over for Arian Foster. Lamar Miller has the ability to catch passes out of the backfield. DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, the number one option in that offense. Things are looking up for Lamar Miller this year. You think Lamar Miller's a second-round guy?
Yeah, I do. I'm very high on Miller. Like you said, everything is just in his favor right now. He's an every down back with receivers you have to trust on a team that has a solid line, likes to run the ball. And, I mean, I know a lot of people say, well, they like to run the ball because they have Brian Hoyer and Mallett and, you know, whatever other quarterback they stuck back there for any given week. But, I mean, no – there's no confirmation that Brock Osweiler, is, you know, is the second coming of Tom Brady.
No, none.
So, I mean, he could be good. He should be better than, you know, Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer. But, you know, I would definitely take Miller. Miller's a top back. I haven't done my actual rankings yet, but he's going to be near the top. You know who, with my old running backs at the moment, you know who I'm also very close to being off soon? Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I know. I'm not touching him. I just don't. You know what I'm saying? I understand. I'm not going to sit here and tell all my listeners to not draft him, but I'm telling you that I'm not drafting him. He's a player that I won't have anywhere. Now, maybe if I get him for a bargain in an auction, okay, so be it. But other than in the 12 team, he's not going to be there where I want him. And where I want with a player like that would be in the third round. You know.
Yeah,
he's getting older.
Ahead. He's getting older. He doesn't catch passes. And since he doesn't catch passes or doesn't do much else besides get slammed between the tackles, when he falls, he's going to fall fast. He's going to have like a Michael Turner type drop off. He's the best running back in the league. Oh, he's not. He has 3 yards per carry.
That's
how it
happens.
Gonna have one of those drop offs, and I'm scared of that since he's probably one of the top two backs coming off the board usually.
You like Miller or Freeman?
I would take Miller over Freeman. I think he's gonna get more touches.
Okay.
I would take.
You
Miller
like Freeman
over Freeman
or Ingram?
Right. Oh, Freeman. I don't like Ingram. I don't like anything about Ingram.
What about our guy, Doug Martin?
I'm taking Freeman over Doug Martin. I think we saw – I owned Martin last year. I traded for him. So I was not a Martin guy, but he went off. I need someone at the end of the year. And you watch him, and he has like 65 yards in the first quarter, and then he just doesn't play for a quarter and a half.
Well, they're playing from behind.
You know, even when they're ahead – he just came off the field. And then you see Charles Sims, and Charles Sims is a good player.
No, I like Charles Sims. I think he's more than a pass catcher.
No, it's not going to happen for him, but I think he's more than a pass catcher, and I think he's gonna hurt Doug Martin.
Yeah, not a player I see myself having too many shares of this year, so it'd be more or less by accident. I want to talk about my team right quick, spend the last 5 minutes with you. I'm going to go through it, tell you how I started this, and I want to get your opinion. I'm going to give you my first 9 picks of this draft. Started from 1-5. 12-team PPR scout starter in the lobby right now. Head on over to playffwc.com. Get involved. Le'Veon Bell at 1-5. Left Dez Bryant on the board.
You can't go
second
wrong
round,
with him. He's the best in the league when healthy.
In the second round, I took Jarvis Landry. In the third round, I took T.Y. Hilton. In the fourth round, I took Doug Baldwin. In the fifth round, I took Emmanuel Sanders. So I went Bell. My strategy going in was, if I can get Bell at 5, I'm taking Bell at 5, then I'm going 4 wide receivers. So I want to build that strong core of pass catchers in this PPR league. What do you think about this core of wide receivers right here? Landry, Hilton, Baldwin, and Sanders.
I don't like T.Y. Hilton. I've never been a T.Y. Hilton guy. I mean, I just don't like Hilton. He's like a one-trick pony. He can be stopped. He can be taken out of games completely. When you least need it, he can give you nothing. And that scares me with him. Baldwin's only done it once, but I think he's much more talented than T.Y. Hilton. And if you trust that the offense is going to keep evolving like it has, Baldwin's great as the number 2 or 3.
T.Y. Hilton, rank these three for me. T.Y. Hilton, Doug Baldwin, Allen Hurns.
Hurns, Baldwin, Hilton.
Interesting. Took Emmanuel
Hurns won't be drafted as high, but.
No, he won't.
From
the fourth round of this draft.
Did he really? I remember last year.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be able to sneak. I thought I was going to be able to sneak him in. That was who I wanted. I didn't want Baldwin. I wanted Hurns. I was shocked
last
when I saw Hurns go off the board.
Last year, two guys were going undrafted, and I told if you read my news articles, every news article, Allen Hurns and Danny Woodhead, take them. And no one, just everyone, like people are drafting Victor Cruz and Dwayne Bowe and Allen Hurns are sitting there. What are you doing?
A lot going on right there. In the fifth round, I took Emmanuel Sanders when – only reason I didn't take Parker, only got 2 minutes left to go in the program. One reason I didn't take Parker here is because I already had a Dolphin wide receiver. I already had Jarvis Landry, so I didn't want to take the risk of maybe a Tannehill injury. Then I don't have, then I got 2 wide receivers playing for a backup quarterback. I'm going to give you the next 5 picks. Tyler Eifert, Duke Johnson, Julius Thomas, and Tavon Austin.
Yeah, I mean, I like all those picks. I'm not high on Julius Thomas. I get that you have Eifert, so you kind of got to have someone else. But Thomas is just as likely to get injured as Eifert is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't love Thomas. There's a lot of mouths to feed there. Even as the offense is getting – the offense is improving, but you also have Hurns. You have Robinson. Now you got the 2 running backs. I really like Rashad Green, who no one's talking about. He could be this year's like Jameson Crowder type player. So
Crowder guy I like also. I think, going Bell in the first round didn't really get me the big stud wide receiver at the top that I wanted, but I still think Le'Veon Bell is not no slouch. He's nothing to sneeze at whatsoever. Doug Baldwin pick was a pick that was very difficult for me to make because much like Freeman, Doug Baldwin had these big touchdown games last year, and you can't rely on touchdowns.
Yeah, but he's pretty much the man there. Who else are they?
That's true.
What player on that offense, other than Russell Wilson, are you taking before Doug Baldwin right now?
It won't be Jimmy Graham because Jimmy Graham is not going to see the field this year. At least I think so, in whatever the case may be. But listen, we're up to the end of our time. Once again, I want to thank my man, MMS, Mark Rowley-Smith. Thank everybody for checking us out. Doing some pretty nice numbers the past couple of weeks. We're going to get rolling and keep it going all the way through September until we're at Vegas sitting down for the Fantasy Football World Championship. For my man Mark Morales-Smith, I am Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive. Follow me on Twitter @TheFantasyExec. And we are out for the next time to take over.